interesting to kind of see how maybe just the process of sitting there and drawing your intention into existence mm-hmm. would work. And so, and I can tell that's impressed my subconscious, because like last night I dreamed about drawing. So this is, it's obviously having an effect. And I just cannot recommend this highly enough. And because there's always something, I mean, you know, healing is not a linear process. There's always something that's going to come up and trigger you. Mm-hmm. And being able to observe it, you know, going through this exercise puts you in an observer mode. So you're, mm-hmm. you don't become you're not becoming your trigger. You're not feeding your trigger. You're saying, okay, that's interesting. You're sitting with that trigger and you're saying, okay, my friends, thank you for showing up. What are you trying to teach me right now?
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Steph, you have honestly perfectly introduced the session that I was going to talk about. So I was literally going to talk about assumption stacking. So thank you so much. We've obviously connected there, because everything you've said has just perfectly introduced what I wanted to talk about today. Really quickly though, before we go more on into like the in-depth details of the assumption stacking itself and how people can do it, when you're talking about illustrating your belief, what does that look like? What process does that look like, if you don't mind me asking?
So I use Procreate on my iPad. Mm-hmm. And I've been using a lot more lately to try to help sketch out my glass designs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kind of been already relearning, reacquainting myself with using it and all the brushes and stuff. And so what I've been using is my Apple Pen. I haven't been doing this in Procreate. I've been doing Apple Notes, and that's where I've been keeping all of my list method stuff and my assumption stacking, because you can search it really easy. Like if mm-hmm. you see something that you think is popped up on your list method, you're like, oh, you can search it. You know, you go through like 100 different documents and you go right to the one and I can, oh, okay, I can check it off. So I like that. But what I did is I'm now creating a separate note for every assumption, and mm-hmm. then below that I will just sketch out just a symbolic representation of that. So
okay, I see.
I don't have it with me right now. It's kind of like I've got my hands full, so I can't post an example, but in that first one that I mentioned, you know, about being treated like a VIP, not being forgotten, mm-hmm. for that, you know, the obvious metaphor, the first one that comes to mind is just like an eye. Mm-hmm. So, and it for me, it just kind of took the form of looking a little bit more stylistic. Just kind of, and that's all it is. It doesn't have to be a complex drawing. You don't need any sort of artistic training. In fact, I think mm-hmm. in some ways that's probably better if you don't have it, because you tend to get back to the, a long time ago, I read a book on Icelandic magic and the history of the practice of using runes as a magical sort of totems. Mm-hmm. And it's not the symbols itself. It's the intentionality behind it.
Yeah.
So the ownership. It's the process of it. It's not the symbol itself. It's the process of creating it.
Yeah.
That sort of creates the.
Well, you're creating it from the state of being that person.
Exactly.
Which is representative. So that's what I really love about it, because I think what can get quite confusing, or I have found on my journey that's been quite confusing, is sometimes it can come across that there are very sort of right and wrong ways to manifest. And actually, it's whatever works for you. And as soon as I started to have more fun with manifesting and kind of going off key a little bit and just doing what I felt pulled to do, that's when things really started moving for me. Because we've heard a million times that it's not the technique that manifests and it's the state that manifests. Mm-hmm. But until you actually start experimenting with different quote unquote techniques, and it could be something that nobody's ever heard of before, that you've created yourself. If it gets you into the state of owning that belief or owning that desire, it's going to manifest. Because what we're trying to do is impress our subconscious. I mean, you having a dream about it.
Yeah.
Like clearly that process is working perfectly for you.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think, you know, everybody has their own thing that they connect with. And so yeah, I think just in kind of experimenting, you know, be it meditate, because, you know, I'm also working on my meditation practice. So I think the way that I've been trying to go about it before I do my list method and all of this work at night is try to get myself into a meditative state where I'm just out of my head, observing my breath, and I'm getting myself into that observer mode that I need. Mm-hmm. And then that's when stuff starts to show up. And the other interesting thing as a kind of a byproduct of that, because I've been so intentional about that, mm-hmm. I have started to get more almost lucidity. I'm kind of back to like, I went through that phase for a while. I mean, I know we talked about it with like Joe in the airplane, like me seeing the airplane that Joe drew, but it had been a while because I was so like rooted in World of Caesar stuff and just so busy. And so I kind of fell by the side. But now that I've resumed that, this is starting to come back. I'm starting to start to see those images again in it when I'm getting into a hypnagogic state. And so it's really, I think between that, this is probably the biggest shift I've noticed in a very long time, like over the past year, between this and then that that exercise that we did for Athena in speaking from the state. And that really helped us, you know, you hear over and over again, you know, you got to think from the wish fulfilled. It's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to internalize that. And so those like, what does it look like to get your SP back? Mm-hmm. What does that day to day look like? What does that feel like? What does all of that? And then what does it feel like? It can be really abstract, because like in SP manifestations, right? It's not really healthy to define yourself by someone else. But so I kind of struggled with that for a little bit.
Yeah.
And these kind or you know, like, what does it feel like to be rich? That's a fun one, right? When we went through that exercise, like Taylor did an amazing job of describing what that feels like. What does this new state feel like? And sometimes it's hard to get it into the visceral from the abstraction. Yeah. Getting into that visceral is, I think, at least for me, I think has been key.
Yeah, it's an experimental thing as well, because I think sometimes we're manifesting things that we've not felt before. So say, for example, if somebody was manifesting wealth and they've lived a life of poverty their whole life, it takes a bit of getting used to figure out what that state looks like. And a really good way of doing that is, I've asked people that have a really good marriage, I've asked them, what does it feel like to be married? Like, explain it to me, because it helps you get into that state. Because what you said there about thinking from rather than thinking of is exactly, I feel for me too, has been the difference between me now and me a year ago, where I was kind of ticking all of the manifesting boxes. And I was doing my imaginal scenes and so on and so forth. But most of the day, most of the time, I was still thinking from the version of me who didn't have it, or the older version of me. And then you look, one thing that I've started doing, which, because I'm quite, like you, Steph, I'm quite a visual person, is I think there's a beauty in reaching a point where you can be really, really honest with yourself. And that can take a bit of getting used to as well. So if there's anybody on this that's quite new to the journey, and this can take a bit of time, but you will get there, that to be able to objectively assess your thoughts and what your life is looking at, like, is really helpful. Because to be in a position where you're not hiding from anything. You want to help yourself basically and think, okay, what am I actually thinking? Like, let's get this shit done. Because otherwise to have like blackout goggles on 24/7, like it's not going to help be helpful. So to zoom out, and I almost imagine my week as like a pie chart and try and objectively assess what section of that pie chart is me living from the state that I'm wanting to embody and what's me not. And over that time, and it's not about being frustrated with yourself, it's giving yourself that time and that patience to work through it. Because if you're thinking of most of the time, then that's what will perpetuate. But if you're start playing around with how it feels to think from, and that's what all these techniques are doing. And yeah, it's finding what is the most enjoyable. And because it's the most enjoyable, it will impress easier. So yeah, I'm going to try that, Steph, with the like symbol. Because what's also really cool is if you ever have any manifestations that you're journaling down, because I know Joe's really keen on everybody tracking their manifestations, and not to create more work, but it gives us confidence. I've like going back and looking at my bridges that have unfolded or the shifts in my life is the most incredible evidence and like jet fuel that you could ask for. Because you could listen to a thousand success stories from different people and they're amazing, but they will never hit you like, oh my God, I wrote this down 2 days ago and now it's happening. Like it's just something else. But you could go and like note those symbols next to your manifestations. So if something manifests, you could be like, oh my God, it's tied into this belief. And it's kind of like quite a cool way of tracking as well.
Hadn't really thought about that, but that's a cool idea.
That's the first thing I thought when you were talking about the symbols, because I know Joe sometimes has tracked his bridges with symbols. I've never done it myself, but that would be cool. So yeah, do that. And then like, well, you're just going to have a book full of symbols at this point, Steph, because everything's like, I feel like everything is starting to shift. What would you say, if you were to summarize it really, really simple or as simply as you can, the difference between you now and what you're doing and how you're doing it versus you when we started these chats? I mean, we've been like OGs for however long. Yeah. Do you think you could like say like what the most significant difference is?
So, and this actually relates back to a question I asked ChatGPT earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talks about, you know, Joe talks about, everybody talks about when you are doing the imaginal act, you have to think of it as a memory, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? What does that feel like? And I asked ChatGPT because I think that the way I have been approaching it, because, you know, it feels good to imagine, it feels, but there's a difference between the wish / fantasy and the experience of it as a memory. And ChatGPT said something, I gotta find it. It was so brilliant. But basically the difference is the feeling, the memory, when it feels like a memory, it feels secure. It feels like a done deal. Whereas if it feels like a wish, you know, and I think Joe said something about this the last time we met, it feels like a wish. That's actually what triggered my ChatGPT question, because I was ruminating on that. It feels like a wish. It's in the future. It is something that you are not yet embodying that state.
Yeah.
Right. So in order to think from the state of the wish fulfilled, that dialing it in as a memory is crucial.
Yeah. And having that ownership.
Yes.
Of that.
Yeah. Scene. So I think that is the biggest shift since, you know, and I've been doing this for 2 years now, right? Like that is the biggest, I think, leap forward that I have taken on this journey in a long time.
Yeah.
It feels good. It it feels like being a different person because you are. You're a different version of yourself.
100%.
It's a liberating version of yourself because you've already, because, you know, and people say like about this whole, oh, okay, give that to yourself. Give that, you know, imagine it, give that to yourself. And, you know, sometimes I roll my eyes when I hear that because it's, well, it's not a 3D, you know, like, how can I give that to myself? Yeah. You know, yeah, it's just, is it not? But you have to dial it back in. And that feeling is a memory helps sort of compress that linear timeline. Or I don't want to say compress. I want to say it sort of liberates you from this experience of linear time.
Well, yeah, because you've eradicated the time because you're that person in that moment.
Yeah.
And when you come out of it, there'll be a bridge for you to experience that again from a state of physical reality rather than 4D. But like time does collapse because it's instant, isn't it? Because you are in that moment of experiencing, whether it's a belief, whether it's a desire, you have it in that moment because you're thinking from the state of having it rather than thinking of. And obviously being within that, being aware of time because you don't have it.
From is the memory, of is the wish. And when you're in that of wish, you're in, when you're thinking of wish instead of from memory, you are in the state of it not being here.
Exactly. And I think one of the things about assumption stacking that I have found hugely helpful. So to kind of compare the difference, I've listed assumptions for the past 2 years since I've had a similar timeline to you, Steph. So I've been doing this, like, I've been aware of manifesting for like 2 years. I was doing the fucking 369 method or whatever people do. And I'm not, like, at the end of the day, I'm not here to slag any specific techniques off, because if that gets you in the state, cool, right? I was not in the state. I was a state, like, back when I was doing the 369 method. And I remember I was like, you know, I'd read this, I don't know what, I'd like some YouTube comment thing that was explaining how to do it. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to get my specific person back. Had I worked on my beliefs and assumptions? Absolutely not. Nothing. I was in the, oh my God, give me anything for the quick fix. And I wrote down 3 assumptions that suggested we were already together. And I don't know what the rule was, like, you speak it 6 times a day for 9 days or whatever crap it was. Did nothing, obviously. So, but this is where the difference lies. Okay. So that's like Ellie circa 2023. And then obviously I've since been on this huge journey to kind of really understand what my old beliefs and assumptions were, which I will come back to, because I don't want to make that necessary, because I think that people can get quite intimidated at the thought that healing is, you know, a kind of prerequisite and you have to do all of this work. It doesn't have to, you know, you can do as much or as little as you want to do. But doing the assumption stacking, what I noted, because I'm not really into scripting, I'm more imaginal scenes and so on. Mm-hmm. But I tried the assumption stacking out and I noticed the difference immediately. So I think I scripted, I don't, like 75, 100, I didn't count, different ways of wording one belief. And I started off, I think the first one I did was, I always get what I want. And I think we've spoken a lot about this in different sessions, but language is really important. So I want to really emphasize that to everybody, is that whatever works for you might not work for somebody else, because it's the language that sits within our subconscious mind. We all have our own traumas, our own memories, our own, the way our parents spoke to us, the way our friends speak to us, the way we speak to ourselves is completely different. So it might be the same baseline belief, but the way that you word it is going to be really personal to you. And so that's why, because we've all been there, I think, when it's like, I am chosen, or I am this. And it's great. But at first, if you're just leaving it at that, it can be quite, it's too much of an umbrella term. And, you know, your subconscious is like, yeah, dude, we don't feel chosen. So, yeah. You know.
Creates
more resistance. Exactly. So that just blows away. And so with the assumption stacking, for anybody that's not watched Joe's video on assumption stacking, I'd really recommend it. But just for anybody that hasn't watched it, assumption stacking is basically choosing one assumption, listing that at the top, and then wording it in as many different ways as you want to word it. And just kind of, you're almost getting lost in it is the best way that I could describe it. So the way I do it, which has worked for me, is that kind of like you, Steph, I do it before bed, because that's when almost like your conscious mind is shutting off. It knows. I get into bed, it knows that I'm done for the day. You know, it could be first thing in the morning or whatever. And sometimes I have, if I find that my conscious mind is a little bit chatty, I put like a frequency tone on in the background, which I can't remember what hertz it is, but it distracts your conscious. And I will start off with a belief, and I will write that. So say, for example, you started with, I always get what I want, for example. So that was something that I knew used to be something that I said to myself repeatedly, was I never get what I want. That was an assumption or a conclusion I would draw from experiences. So I started with that, and I just started wording it differently. So I think we've spoken about this. I think I've listed a few different ways that you can do it. I think it was like a couple of weeks ago in the chat. But you know, people show me, I'm always shown by the people around me that I always get what I want. People love giving me what I want. Everything in my reality shows me that I get what I want every single time without question. I feel so lucky that I always get what I want. I can't believe how easy it is that I get what I want all the time. So you're just listing it in slightly different ways. And you could change the wording completely and just be like, things in my reality always work out the way I want to. But what I found when I started doing it, like 10 in, my kind of thinking changes. And it goes to, how else does this feel? What else does this feel like? How else could I describe this to somebody else? Because what you end up doing is working out a different way to word a feeling you have, rather than another way to word the belief you're scripting. That's what I've found. And it might take you 5, it might take you 10, it might take you 20, but at some point, if you are doing it at a time where you feel relaxed and you are scripting those beliefs out, eventually a click will happen and you will observe it. And even if you don't observe it, something will happen where you start thinking from the state of having that belief. And that propelled me, because at first, I'm not going to lie, notice to Joe's video, I watched the video and I was like, oh, scripting doesn't really work for me. I don't really click with beliefs. If I want to change a belief, I do an imaginal scene where I'm having an inner conversation with somebody and a friend or someone I trust affirms the belief to me. But I did it anyway. I went in with it. And literally, I think I said a story about this, but I've since had like more reflection. I think it was like 2 weeks ago now, I scripted that people always communicate their feelings to me openly and honestly. And another thing that I did, so there's a focus in relationships for me. But what I will do is I will do them general, and then I will do some that are relationships, some that, you know, so say some, for example, a phrase that everybody I love, everybody I care about, everybody in my reality, but some of them might be everybody I have feelings for, everyone I'm in love with, everybody I'm interested in. So you're keeping it really general every time, but some might be general to everybody in your life and some might be general to certain groups of people. And this one was one of those. I did a variety. And immediately, I was finding myself in positions where people, and especially men, because obviously my our subconscious mind isn't stupid. It knows what you want. It knows what you're doing. So for me, men is the most symbolic thing to be reflecting this belief to me. And I think I'd said a couple of weeks ago in the call with Joe that I had had a really close friend open up to me about their struggles 2 days later. And a bridge had unfolded immediately the next day that we had to be alone together for him to share all of this with me. That has since developed into another belief that I have scripted, which for me was people keeping me close when they're going through something. Because I had a childhood belief that when people were suffering, I would be abandoned. And I watched not only that assumption stacking be successful, but that assumption stacking that I did was part of a bridge to a wider manifestation to close the gap for that belief to be materialized. But then the next week, I've literally had my cousin, who I have a great relationship with, but I don't speak to regularly. I think the last time I saw him was about 4 months ago. He turned up at my doorstep unannounced to share his feelings about a girl that, bless him, that he was dating, is only 19. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, everybody around me, five people have come to me over the past fortnight to open up to me and divulge their deepest, darkest secrets because they feel safe to be openly communicative with me. And I sat there and I was like, this shit works. And I looked back and I assessed the difference, because this is something that I would really encourage everybody to do. When something is either not working or when something works, sit down with yourself and assess it as black and white as you can and think, what have I been thinking? What have I been doing? What have I scripted? What have I done? Because that is the best evidence that you can gather to help propel your manifesting forward, because you're going to streamline how you do it, you're going to release resistance, and it will get easier and faster every single time. And I could look back and go, oh my God, well, I did that assumption stacking on Tuesday. And how did that feel? Okay, well, actually, I can see that the difference in doing that technique was that I was thinking from the version of me that already has that belief and already sees that around her, rather than just writing out 3 or 4 times, oh, everybody communicates with me openly and honestly. And I also think that there's something to be said about there being a difference. And I don't know, I don't have any proof about this, but this is something that I've kind of concluded from my own research. I have also been somebody that's kind of like listed down assumptions because, I don't know, ChatGPT has given me them, Neville has given me them, or, you know, you've been in situations where you've been sharing assumptions between each other. There's something about writing them organically. Yes, obviously, listing them out is helpful because you're getting them all down on pen and paper. But when you're not copying them, you're not writing from a screen to a piece of paper, you're not writing from your phone onto a piece of paper, you're writing it authentically from your own mind. That's where the ownership comes in. Because I think that for me, I found that almost the act of writing, like copying something, slightly shifts your awareness to, oh, I'm copying the words from the screen onto the words on the paper. Whereas sitting there and going, how does this feel? If I was to explain to somebody else right now how this feeling feels, how does it feel? Okay, well, it feels like no matter who I'm speaking to, I trust that they're completely open with their feelings. Yeah, that's so true. Like, well, how else could I word it? There's a complete difference in the level of ownership. And so now what I do is, like you, Steph, every night, or whenever I want to, obviously, I don't force it, I will focus on one belief or one assumption that I want to script out. Sometimes I might spend 2 nights working on one. And I have a list on my phone because I kind of, I'm aware of my thoughts through the day. And if there's something that I feel anxious about or something that I find triggering, I will go inwards, work out where that's coming from, work out what my inner child or that part of me is fearing. I will just jot it on my phone. So I've got like a bullet list on my phone. So for example, one might be reciprocity, like somebody, you know, kind of having that sense that if I am feeling joy and happiness towards somebody, that that's the same back, like this kind of feeling of things being mutual. I'll just write down mutual love, and then I'll go and I'll think which one's speaking to me this evening, and I'll just roll with that. And then taking it a step further, just because this is the complete process of what I did, I scripted them out. So going back to the one that I did about people communicating, I scripted it out, and then I voice recorded that script into my phone. So I did that immediately afterwards, and I'm doing it out loud because basically what I'm creating is like a subconscious mind tape. And then for the next like couple of nights, and you don't need to do this, but it's just if anybody's interested, because we all learn differently. Our subconscious is, they're all different. And I will listen to that whilst I sleep for a couple of nights. But I do think that there is something to be said about saying it out loud. And I think Joe said something, oh, it was ages ago now, and he said the power in writing, reading it back, and then reading it out loud is really, really powerful. So that's also another step that you can add into your assumption stacking if anybody wanted to. But yeah, I didn't know if anyone else, because obviously I know a lot of people on here will have watched Joe's video because he's mentioned it a couple of times. But does anybody have either any questions about assumption stacking or their own success stories or experiences with it?
So I've found the exact same as you, Ellie, with the assumption stacking. For me, I've found that there's a huge difference in writing a few beliefs out here and there to sit down with yourself and literally going within and thinking from the version of you that already holds those beliefs.
Yeah.
And what I've found with it is you do shift state because you're thinking of the different ways of wording these beliefs. It then gets to a point where it becomes natural. It's your natural thoughts answering, let's say, the questions you're asking yourself in your mind, like you said, like, well, how does this feel? What does this look like? Etc. So that's what I've really found, is that it does shift you quite quickly. And you can definitely feel the emotion of having those beliefs. And yeah, I think, thinking about it, I was thinking it's very similar to when like Athena will ask you questions to shift your state in, like, oh well, how does that make you feel, what does that look like in her coaching sessions. If anyone has had coaching sessions with her, she does this similar thing. But the assumption stacking gets you to think about, what does that mean to me, what does that look like to me, well, what do people think in relation to me, and all of these questions. And like I say, you know, I've found literally I've sat and I've done the assumption stacking for an hour just on, let's say, beliefs around being chosen. And I'll wake up the next day and I will still be having natural thoughts come through into my mind about what it feels like, what that looks like, and all of these kind of things, which I then go on to write down again. But that's because I've stepped into that state. And that version of me that already has those beliefs in mind, essentially. So yeah, there is definitely a huge difference between, you know, writing a couple down or copying or whatever. Because, you know, I've done it myself. I mean, Ellie, we've been quite similar in things we've done.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and we've shared assumptions before, haven't we? And obviously, like, there is the process. Of course, you're going to be copying it down at some point, but going back and adding that additional step.
Yeah, from an understanding point of view of what you want to target, then of course, writing down targeted beliefs is a really good idea, because it gives you the idea of what you want to focus on, whether that's consistency, trust, stability, whatever it may be. But then once you have those core beliefs in mind, go and do the assumption stacking on them, like Steph was saying, and you was like, go and sit with yourself and write as many as you possibly can in relation to that one thing, even if you end up using different words that support that one belief. Do that as well, because sometimes I find it's like a spider web. Sometimes, obviously, you know, if you have consistency, then you have trust. If you have, do you know what I mean? Sometimes they tie together. But as long as you're targeting that one belief and assumption, then you're doing it how you should.
Yeah, and I know one thing that we've spoken about together is that moving through your life day to day, a really, really great thing to do is to recognize when those beliefs arise. So, you know, because as we know, it's you are in that state in that moment, just like when you're doing an imaginal scene, you're not expected to then indefinitely be in that state forever. You will be led on a bridge to realize those beliefs in the physical reality. Obviously, if you do stay in state, fantastic. But I just don't want people to get the wrong end of the stick and think that, you know, you go in, you do this assumption stacking, you feel amazing, you feel from the state and you're thinking from the state, and then you're meant to continue that. That's not necessary. If that happens, fantastic. But it's no different to doing an imaginal scene. You then will go back to normal life and your awareness will create a bridge of events to happen for you to fulfill that manifestation. But what is great, you will start, it's like Athena says a lot with your reticular activating system, start to notice, make a conscious decision to go through your day and notice all of the good things, no matter how small or big it is, because you'll be aware of the assumptions and the beliefs that you're changing. So, you know, it's like Steph said with the barista like running out. I mean, who the fuck does? Nobody does that. Like, that's clearly from the man, from Steph having listed the belief out. And, you know, note that. Take a minute to sit with yourself and go, look, this is my reality showing me that I am important. Look, this is my reality showing me that people love to communicate their feelings to me. Yeah. Look, this is my reality showing me that everything works out for me. Because if you look back, because all of us are here, because we've all probably been on a similar journey where at some point something in our life wasn't going the way we wanted it to, which has led us to manifesting. We were unconsciously manifesting all of the stuff that we didn't want to. And I know from my experience, I was there affirming constantly, oh, look, things don't work out for me. Oh, look, that's happened again. Oh, look, that completely neutral experience, I'm going to take that to affirm all of the negative things about myself that I already hold as true. We did it back then. We were walking through life, affirming day to day all of the negative stuff. So what you're wanting to do is flip it around and start consciously noticing all of the small or big things that are happening in your life, and just take a moment to reaffirm and remember those beliefs that you've written down. Because the more you have, that's kind of going into the kind of the passive imagining that Athena talks about as well, because we're imagining, we're manifesting all the time. And it's not about flipping your thoughts. It's just being aware of your negative thoughts, allowing them to come, because they're giving you the most incredible evidence to show you what you need to go an assumption stack on. And then when the good stuff happens, oh my God, amazing. Look what this is showing me. And then over time, you are training your subconscious mind A, that all of these beliefs are safe, B, that all of these beliefs are expected, and C, all of these beliefs are what you are embodying now moving forward. And slowly and slowly, but surely, or quickly, you know, in a lot of cases as well, things will start changing in your reality. And whether it's just because you're noticing things differently, or whether it's because, you know, your bridges are all unfolding, I think that there is something special and important about noticing and recognizing when you're on those bridges and when those things are happening. Because within that, you're noticing the movement, you're noticing that things are changing, which will manifest more movement, more changing, more beliefs. And that's what creates the motion for your life to change.
Yeah. And also within this, like you say, Ellie, it's like Athena says, what glasses are you looking through? If you're looking through the glasses of, well, of course this is happening to me because this is supporting this belief that I'm important to the people I love and all of this, then you're always going to be noticing the good around you. You're always going to be looking at how things are working out for you, like you say. And all of that evidence will, again, support what your new beliefs are, essentially. Because that's the thing, we know ourselves that, you know, our brain automatically wants to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's done most of its life. And what we're doing is retraining our brain and giving a new path to actually being able to see things through a different perspective and through the perspective that we want to experience things through. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there, Adele, is so key, because we're never going to eradicate the negative thoughts, and that's not what the aim is. We're always going to have an ego. We're human. We're here to have a human experience. That voice, whether it's your inner child, whether it's just that teenage version of you that's trying to keep you safe, they are there existing, and they're allowed to exist. They just don't run the show. And it's in that moment, you're not trying to shut them up. You're not trying to like stamp them down. You're allowing them to, you're giving them a voice, but almost from the dynamic of, oh, thank you for telling me that. We can, I'm going to help you not fear that anymore. And within that, that's where the resistance decreases.
Sorry, Ellie, can I just step in? Because it's really interesting what you ladies are talking about, because that's exactly what I've been going through on my bridge is just unfolding like really heavily. Let's say I had a really bad concept in my love life. For many reasons, so that's my challenge. Yes, what you said about the ego. So now at the moment I have an SP. I'm actually the third party. I am the third party, but not really. But yes, at this moment, something really hard is happening. And the last week, we've been interacting. And for the first time, I'm able to kind of be vulnerable and even admit to myself and be vulnerable to him, because I wrote him, like, for me, it's a letter, but I sent through an email, you know, this to say is not I love you, you are the only person in my life, because that's not how I feel, that's not who I am. But to be vulnerable and say, look, I have this difficulties in love, and many times when I move away, I was not meaning that, and changing the lenses, this is what I've it's so interesting that you ladies are just stepping into it. Yes, this is not easy. The ego hurts.
Yes.
But yes, I'm not doing wrong then. I'm on the right path, right?
100%. 100%. And as soon as I stopped fighting my ego, this wasn't really manifesting, but it's a technique that I learned that really, really helped me. When I was kind of at the beginning of my journey and I was feeling really anxious, or certain things in my 3D would really trigger me, I think it was a psychologist, I can't remember, but if you feel like a pain in your body, like a rock, that kind of anxiety feeling, what we can sometimes be taught is to ignore it, affirm over it. That's your inner child asking for reassurance, asking for some love, because at some point that, you know, an experience will have happened that inner child didn't get that love. So the technique, I think it was, you get your hands kind of one on top of the other and you hold where you feel that emotion. So you put your hands over it and you give your inner child all of the reassurance in your mind, channel all of that down to the physical like location and give it the love, give it the attention, because that's what it's crying out for, is that attention. Because we're holding those energies in our body from all of the experiences that we've had through our lives. And I think in some ways, the process of manifestation, you're releasing that negative energy.
That's what I believe, from like suppressing would never be that what I was doing before. And that's why I would hide. That's why I would, you know, stay alone and go again to do the inner work. No, now I'm decided that I want a different action. Externalize. If I feel the urge, like yesterday, I felt the urge of writing. I had wrote the entire letter, and then obviously I help from ChatGPT. But I think this is so really important. I'm really happy in where I am now for the first time in my life.
Wow.
Did what I want in front of me. And I know what I did. Well, my subconscious mind showed me in this interaction specifically with this SP, and this week with older SPs that, of course, I'm not even interested, but just to point that out to me, my subconscious mind just showed me, you know, when you have the turning point in a situation where if you choose one thing, you go to the same timeline as you were before or what you used to. And what we are doing is changing this habit and consciously manifesting, choosing something else, right? Closer to what we want. So my subconscious mind told me exactly in each interaction with this SP when there was a turning point and I pushed him away. So if you want him, just do it different.
And there's something so powerful in making that decision.
And he
like making that
worded today something not difficult, is not painful, but kind of step away for a few days. He's in a trip with the person itself and her daughter. So what it gives me assurance is that they don't have a romance. They don't even kiss or hug. So that's so reassuring, because at the end of the day, she's there because of her daughter. She's a single mom. Because of her daughter, not the opposite, you see. She was supposed to be the girlfriend. So, no, I am the girlfriend. I am the woman. This showed me, no, don't get hurt. He wants to build a family. That's what he's telling you. So the the lenses of changing. Before, I would be devastated. Like, wouldn't have a completely different conversation. I'll say, Ellie, what should I do? What am I doing wrong?
But that is the biggest sign of the change that you've made. Like that, I know Athena says that a lot, is that the biggest evidence of movement in your manifestation is your inner change. You're thinking differently. You're making different conclusions.
This is the best event ever. I don't feel never okay. Of course, they want to treat them right and it's going to be a nice treat. Nobody wants to be mean to each other. That's not the point. But the romance is not there, crystal clear. He's not exposing her like, this is my woman. No, never. He wants to be nice to the girl, So this is a lot of proof. Come on, this is so strong. And before 100%. I would see lenses. And but my ego, yes, we get like, oh my god, really? And
well, so, it's trying to keep you safe. Yeah, but the fact that you are able to understand that and observe that and choose the story that suits you is the best evidence that you've changed and you've planted that seed.
Reassure me, Ellie. I need reassurance at some point because 3D is right the opposite. So yes, I'm in the right path and this is just going to collapse at some point really soon.
100%. 100%. And it's making, it's just persisting in that choice and persisting in your end and using your ego mind as a tool to show you if there's any, if there is any remaining resistance within you, it's observing our thoughts. It's not fighting them. It's not being angry with them. It's not being frustrated. It is observing them from a place of what is what is this short this thought showing me and telling me?
It's not and, hiding. Looking at the 3D and getting the feeling right.
Yeah, that's everything is evidence. Everything is evidence of what is going on in our subconscious mind. How lucky are we that we have all this evidence everywhere? So nothing is hidden. We have everything we could possibly need. And that's, you know, what you're doing is fantastic because you're making that choice. You're staying dedicated to your end. But also by being dedicated to that, you are showing your inner child the best love that you could ever show it. That's healing in itself because you are making this decision, you're making this change. You are not settling because you believe somewhere for sure that that inner child that can be fearful sometimes is deserving of the desire that you've chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it. I kept on from you just showed me, Ellie, what I've been for. I'm chosen. I'm
you 100% are.
I got into this in believe me, this past week, and all the speed that he was blocked because this guy had a girlfriend, but I could see he was not committed. That's why I started seeing him or I met him in the first place because I was never into married men with commitment. This is trouble. I don't need that. We can find a single one, right? So I always avoided that kind of thing. So there was an old SP that he was blocked because he's married and he wants to, okay, one day I want to make it. No, I don't want to get into that. I don't need that. So I blocked him for 3 years. I decided to unblock him 2-3 months ago for a completely different reason because, well, I'm not going to get into details. And you see, this last SP sent me a message this week. So this is something that in the past, because I was unsure that I was the chosen one and that I had to commit the one I like, get the one I love, I would just, you see, somebody else here. So I can go out of this one, get distracted for a little bit while the other one doesn't feel my energy, that kind of thing. I would go this way. I said, no, distractions. What is this all about? No. I was polite and replied, but no. And like, then this.
All I was going to say was what I really like about what you've been doing is you are noticing the difference in how you are now versus how you were, which kind of tied into what I was saying at the beginning, which is that's the best evidence that all of this is real because your physical body, your pure thoughts they're not going to lie to you. That's your subconscious. And if you are reacting differently to a situation that you know would have once triggered you, that's the manifestation that you are becoming this new version of you.
Right, because yes, what's showing on my 3D, of course, this is some fears playing out. I'm seeing it now. It's manifesting. And I'm this is the best thing ever, actually. this exactly. is the beginning of the end. Yeah,
exactly.
And, exactly. When he comes back from his trip, everything's going to be different. And I just have to not push him away. I have to, even if there is somebody else for some period of time, not all the time, but this is going to work out itself. You see, I still worry a little bit and how things are going to play out. That's not my business. I don't have to think about it. I have exactly. other things to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing that you can do is...
I'm observing myself.
Exactly.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, and figure out what is that worry? And that's the beauty of the assumption stacking. I mean, I know that quite a few of us on the call, I know Adele and I have done a lot of belief work together. I would also recommend as well is... I know that now that, you know, we've got the kind of like the new dynamic on the Discord with the sessions on a Sunday. We've got the group chat, which I think is the one with the little crown next to it. And I would encourage everybody to share their ideas for beliefs in the group chat, because but being able to bounce ideas off of each other and like, you know, message each other on there, create friendships like outside of the chat. Because I think being in a position where all of us are manifesting, it's a lifestyle. It's not just something that Athena and Joe want us to be, you know, focused on an hour a week on the Sunday shift and then kind of going about our daily lives and kind of forgetting. Like, we have to be implementing it. We have to be doing the work from a place of fun and from a place of love. It's not... You know, it's not effort in the sense that it's like, you know, like heavy.
I would love to have other people to discuss, because sometimes it's not easy to have conversation with, like, let's say,
exactly.
people out of the same community to have the same perspective. They just tell you the same thing, drop it, go to the next. That's not
exactly.
what I'm doing.
But the change comes.
That was not effective, is it?
Yeah, exactly. But the change comes in. Changing our state, changing our beliefs and assumptions, because that's, I know Athena, don't hate me Athena because I haven't watched the video yet because I've not had time, but I know Athena's done a video recently on this because I read the title. But you could manifest things, like all of us. I've manifested people back numerous times, but because I'd not at that point changed my beliefs and assumptions, the same patterns would inevitably fall in place again. And sure. I think all of us here, we're all here because we are dedicated to ourselves and we want to change. And perhaps like quite a fun thing to do for people, use the group chat on the Discord. And if somebody's got a belief that they would like help with, a belief that they would like to work on, or something that they know the belief, but they would like to bounce ideas off with somebody else, it's quite likely that some, like, there'll be a few in the group that all have a similar belief pattern. Okay. So whether it's not being chosen, whether it's not being prioritized, there'll be certain threads. Like Adele said, it's like a web, everything is connected, and you can arrange, you know, calls between each other or do it within the group where you all basically kind of like assumption stack together or bounce the ideas off of, okay, well, what is this old belief and why do I have it? What is it trying to keep me safe from? Do I have a memory that is stuck? I mean, from my experience, I had, when I started doing like the belief work, I would get suppressed memories come up in meditation or in dreams that I'd not thought about for 10 years, but it was because my subconscious finally felt safe enough to release this memory to my conscious brain so that I could revise it, so that I could release it. And that's essentially with the assumption stacking as well. What can be helpful, because I know I kind of spoke about this at the beginning, but I don't, like, I do want to caveat it with, you don't have to be perfectly healed. You don't have to be this perfect person with this, with all these perfect beliefs and assumptions to manifest. That is not what I'm saying at all. All of us will be carrying some baggage of kind of past energy from whether it be childhood, whether it be old relationships, whatever it is. For me personally, I have found a lot of kind of, it's made my manifesting easier to go back, work through that and release it. Even if all you're doing is recognizing what the old belief actually is and just deciding, okay, that isn't mine anymore. Like that, it can be as simple as that. You don't have to, you know, revise every single memory. I found that once you're in this kind of process, your subconscious mind will do what it needs to do. You've planted that seed of your manifestation. Your subconscious will do what it needs to do. It will go on a bridge to do what it needs to do for you to become that person who has that manifestation, who's fulfilled that desire. But you know, if you want to help it along, going through working out what your beliefs and assumptions are deep down that you aren't consciously aware of, so that you can dig those weeds out. Kind of, I know Adele and I spoke about it like this, and it, because as again, like I'm quite visual, so I kind of, and I'm also one of these really annoying people that like throws like random analogies out all the time because I like to think of it in a visual way. But it's like if you've got your garden and you want to go and plant the seed of your manifestation, your garden, and I'm not saying this is the same for everybody, my garden was full of weeds. I could go and plant my lovely seed of my desire in this soil. It's really low on nutrients. It's full of dead plants and seeds and like weeds and everything. But, you know, with the right level of like sun and water, like it will probably grow, right? But I'm not exactly helping it to flourish. But if I go through my garden and pull out all of those dead weeds, weed it, I give it all of the nutrients that I could. If I go and plant that seed again, it will flourish and grow so much easier and so much quicker than if I didn't go through and de-weed everything. Does that kind of make sense to people? And that's kind of the way I found now, is that when I'm implementing the belief stack, the assumption stacking, my subconscious is more susceptible because I've disowned all of the old beliefs and assumptions that would have kind of clashed with it prior. So that would be a big recommendation that I have. And I know Adele would say the same, because I know that we've spoken a lot about belief work and we've helped each other through a lot of belief work as well. If you can, you know, make connections as well, like do this, like work on this, because like that is, there's no like fast track to just doing like one tiny method and your reality just changes. That you do have to go and do the work, but you're doing it because you believe that you are worthy of the life that you want to live. That's why you're doing it. You're not doing it to get your specific person. You're not doing it to win the lottery. You are doing it because you are telling your childhood self, I am going to do what it takes to give you the life that you always deserved. And I'm going to do the work. And curating what you decide what your life's going to look like is easier when you've gone and understood why it was going wrong in the first place. And that can be intimidating. It can be daunting. And it's a process. But do it in a way that feels the most comfortable, but doing it with people and feeling like you have people that you can bounce ideas off, you can talk through things with, you can, you know, ask people as well, like, hey, is there anyone in this group that does feel really chosen? Because we're all going to have different beliefs and assumptions. There might be one of us that really, really feels chosen, and that's not, you know, something they've ever struggled with. And then, you know, we can all help each other to really feel into and understand the beliefs that we want.
Ellie, could you use the Could you use the stacking to help you to change your assumptions and beliefs about yourself?
100%, Barb. So what I would do, to, if you've not really started with the assumption stacking before, I would sit down.
I've never used it
and
yet.
And work out. Have you not? Oh my God, Barb, it's going to change your life. I'm excited. So what I would do is I'd sit down first and I would kind of bullet where the areas are that you'd like to focus on. So for me, for example, I think actually, do you know what? I'm going to look at my list right now because I have it on my phone. So I keep it on my phone because I swear to God, it will be the most random time of the day or somebody will say something and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm going to assumption stack about that. So I have like a bullet list. So mine, for example, mine says action. So people taking action, commitment, mutual and being on the same page, being a priority, being chosen, love being consistent, emotional intimacy, love is safe, result, like finding resolutions, receiving and people wanting to give to me, trusting the good in my life. I've got a list basically. So they're kind of almost like topics. And then go right. with whichever one is the most exciting. That's what I always do. It's like, what am I excited to assumption stack for? What's something that like gets my juices flowing that I'm like, oh, do you know what? I really want to feel into what that feels like. Because as well, your subconscious will work with you as well. Like it's there to help you. And I find sometimes if I'm having negative thoughts now, I'm always like, oh, cool. Thanks for helping me. Like, what are you trying to say? Like, you will feel a pull to a certain topic I've found. So roll with that. Trust that your subconscious is going to guide you to do whatever it needs to do. Because that also is something that stops, I've stopped worrying so much about doing everything perfectly because I'm like, almost like threw the towel in and was like, you know what? It's not my fucking problem. My subconscious is going to, my higher self is going to run the show now. Like you tell me what to do. And yeah, just, you know, I also found that once you start, once you start assumption stacking, like Adele was saying earlier, it tends to spark ideas for other topics to assumption stack.
Okay.
But yeah, do you have any other questions, Barb, about it? Or do you kind of
I'll probably contact you. I'll contact you directly to for that. I just had a fight with my daughter, so I'm kind of not paying attention too well.
Oh, Barb. Okay, well, do you know what? I promise you everything's gonna be fine because I'm gonna assume it's fine. I'm gonna manifest for you. So
thank you.
Whatever you do or think, Barb, is all going to be perfect because I've decided and we've all decided for you. But when you feel
you're really good,
calmer,
you're really great at this.
Oh, thank you. I could honestly, it's just because I could talk to myself in an empty room. So I'd just chat shit until someone told me to shut up. So, but thank you, Barb.
Yeah,
But yeah,
when people catch me talking to myself when I'm shopping, I go, I talk to myself because I'm the smartest person I know.
You know, it's a sign of a healthy person because I've spoken to myself my whole life and people were like, it's a sign of insanity. And then I read one psychologist was like, it's the healthiest thing that a person could do is to talk to themselves because you've got a relationship with yourself. So, but yeah, what I would do, Barb, is use when you feel calmer, because also I don't want to give off the impression that we're always using experiences in like a really scientific way. Like we are emotional beings. Like we are like feel it. Like don't immediately jump to like, oh, what's this showing me? What do I need to do? No, like live it and feel it as well. But when you feel a little bit calmer, sit with yourself and work out how it made you feel. So rather than necessarily asking yourself, what is this showing me? What I tend to ask myself is, what am I fearing? What were my thoughts during that experience? And what was I feeling? Was I feeling really betrayed? Was I feeling really unchosen? Was I feeling really misunderstood? Was I feeling really resentful? Like, whatever it is. And then just note that down. And whether it just be like the odd word, because obviously you're not like scripting it. And then that is where you can flip that into a topic to assumption stack. Another thing that I have found helpful, I know Adele uses it.
22 years, she's been telling me the same stuff. 22 years, she's lived in Texas. I'm obviously far away from that. 22 years, she has been beating the same fucking dead horse in my head. I mean, what just I doesn't like me. We're exactly alike. Mm-hmm. She'll keep my grandkids from me. That's the worst part.
Well, Bob, I would work out also, because this is something for assumption stacking. I think I kind of touched on it. Go general first. So you can assumption stack for specific people or for, for specific scenarios. But definitely also like go as general as you can, because what will also happen, there's less resistance when you're going general, because you're not attached to an emotional experience with a specific, with one person. And I know Joe said it numerous times. If we, it's like just going like down the specific, because obviously I'll use that because I know that everyone kind of knows what I'm talking about when I'm talking about manifesting a specific person. If you're only doing that and you're not touching on the general assumptions and the general patterns, they are always going to fall back into that same pattern, because it's the it's like that's your umbrella. But what you can do, do it generally, and then you'll be able to understand what it is with your daughter specifically, and you can do those hand in hand. But yeah, what I would also do, I know a lot of people use ChatGPT, and the Neville AI as well is fantastic. So I wouldn't, obviously, I know Joe would say this, I don't use ChatGPT to learn about manifesting. I use ChatGPT to help me work on my beliefs. So what I've done, like literally 1,000 times, I honestly, ChatGPT must be sick of me. I speak to it less now, but it was like, honestly, I must have saved like £10,000 on like therapist fees through ChatGPT. What I would do is I would put an experience or a memory into ChatGPT, and I would say, hey, this is, I must admit, I always kind of code it with, I believe in the law of assumption. And I actually do say, please, can you guide me as Neville Goddard or Joseph Ally would? Because then it gives it a bit of a framework. But I will give it an experience. So I will say, look, this has been happening in my reality. I will explain what is happening in the physical world. I will explain the pattern, and I will explain how it's making me feel. And I will then say what I want. So whether, you know, for you, it would be, please, can you help me understand what beliefs or assumptions I might have under the surface that is perpetuating this pattern with my daughter? And also another really good prompt is to say that it can ask you questions back. So you could write something down that's like, you know, please feel free to ask me any further questions that will help you to help me. And then through that, that will help you work out what the subconscious patterns are. Because at the end of the day, they're subconscious, aka we don't know what they are, like on the surface. And I think that is quite validating. I found when that like clicked in my brain, I was like, oh, well, yeah, it is meant to be like, like somewhat of a challenge to work out what these patterns are, because they're subconscious. They're not conscious patterns. Right. They're subconscious patterns.
Right.
We have the evidence in our conscious mind because of the thoughts.
Right.
So the thoughts are like the clues.
That is there. Going, we don't know what. Yeah.
Exactly. So by putting
But I don't know
thoughts,
what got me there. I don't really don't know what got me there. Right.
But eventually you'll be able to get to that. It's kind of like going down a wormhole in your own mind. And you're kind of instructing your mind to work with itself as well. Because I found for me, there would be like, say, for example, when I was in like the deep throes of doing the belief work with ChatGPT, and I would also check in with the Neville AI at the same time, because I would find then that like the correspondence, or I would say, oh, Neville, I've uncovered this belief that is XYZ. Please, can you give me 20 new assumptions to counter this belief? And I would also get the beliefs from ChatGPT as well. So what you're able to do is not only work out what patterns you want to change, you can ask it to directly flip those patterns into assumptions, which you can then go and do assumption stacking on. So you've got that whole process there. But what I would say is that you do end up, or I found that memories would come up and they were so random, and I would almost be like, why is this memory coming up? And I'd, you know, it would be like a childhood memory or something. And on the surface, I didn't get it, but I would just throw it into ChatGPT and I'd be like, okay, why is this memory? And it would be like, boom, because of this, this, and this, and this. And you were being shown this, which made you conclude this. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. And you're having like all of these eureka moments. But from that eureka moment, I untangled it and I went, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, and look, I was fucking 5 years old. It was never my problem. Like, that was never my belief. I was five, or I, you know, whatever. Right. And it's those decisions and it's that thought process that releases all of that and untangles that web of all of these old beliefs and assumptions that all of us have going on in our brain, which is, that's why it's then so much easier to knit your new web with of all of your new beliefs and assumptions. But I also want to say to people, if anybody's like thinking of doing this, which I would definitely recommend, you are releasing. So I did have times where like I felt drained, I felt tired, I felt confused, or if anything, I would have like a massive eureka moment. I'd do some amazing like assumption stacking or belief work or an imaginal scene, and the next couple of days I would feel shit and I would have more negative thoughts than I'd had than, and I'd be like, what the hell is going on? I really, really would recommend like utilize the Neville AI, because what it's like, that energy that you've had in your body, it's releasing. That's all it is.
So it was like purging all the bad stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was just
a purge. Okay.
Yeah, it was just a purge, and it goes, and it's basically also your ego's like last ditch attempt to kind of go, oh, hang on, things are changing here. Well, what? I'm going to throw this at you because I don't want you to change. Oh, whoa, right. Hang on, like, because that's what happens. So yeah, for anybody that's doing any of this and they're confused or worried or concerned that they're getting negative thoughts, or like it's just things releasing, and just persist in it and it will get better. And I know Adele would second me on this, because we had many moments where we would like work through beliefs together and we would be like, I'm having such a bad day. We'd be like, me too. And then like 2 days later, it was like a lift. Like I felt lighter, because that resistance, that energy had moved through my body and released. So yeah, just don't want anybody to be put off. No worries, Barb.
Thank you.
And yeah, do like message me if you need help with anything. Lots of love, Barb. Also, I want to make sure,
thank you,
love you, Barb, that if anyone's got any questions and they don't want to like speak out loud, or they are unable to, you can use the little chat box at the bottom. But I'm very aware that we've been on the session for nearly 2 hours now, so I will stop talking. But if anybody has any last like questions or like successes that they want to share before we finish the call, then feel free to ask now. Or if you want to just like message it in the little chat box as well, I will answer before we go. But yeah, like going forward, not as homework, but I am a Virgo, so I like all things homework. But basically what I would really like you all to do, because I think that the core theme for Jo and Athena here is for all to get us to actually be utilizing manifesting and making it a lifestyle, because that's where the real change happens. So whether you guys want to go and do some assumption stacking, or if you have, I would really encourage people to get together outside of the group and like discuss assumption stacking, or whether they want to have a conversation, like a kind of in the end conversation, as if those assumptions are true, and then kind of report back in the group. Because we've got like our own little group chat that's just for the mastermind people. And then we can all like bounce ideas off to each other. And yeah, if anyone wants to like find manifestation buddies, find belief buddies, and help each other work through it, and then yeah, message on the group something that you've learned, something you've felt, a belief you've worked on, and like you could suggest like ways that people can script it, that would be really, really amazing. But yeah, I'm just going to open the floor up to anybody else that does have a question. I feel like playing like the countdown music where it's like da 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 da.
No, this was just wonderful, Ellie. This was really good.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, can you hear me?
I hope it was helpful. Yes, I can.
No, yes, a quick observation and slight question. I promise I'll be quick. Like I've been doing a list method, but I've been doing, and I probably should just do the assumption stacking a little bit more in depth, because I've been combining the two where I'm listing like 10 assumptions within the list method,
Yeah.
And, but what I've noticed, though, which is weird since I've been doing that for this past week, there was something that I put on a list method that I had done probably a month ago, is to see a purple butterfly. And I was like, there's no such thing as a purple butterfly. I've seen red, I've seen green, red, yellow, and orange, right? I'm like, I've never seen a purple butterfly. Literally today, I'm sitting in the dog park with the dogs, and this in person, live, not a cartoon or anything, the purple butterfly came by, and I was like, oh my god, is that, and I'm freaking out, and I'm looking at these people, and they're like, what's she freaking out? I'm like, it's a purple butterfly, right? Like, it's a purple butterfly that's been on my list forever. So I will say I've seen movement with me combining, with me doing the small list of assumptions that I do every day, and let me know, this is the question here, if a little bit more in depth with the assumption stacking, like kind of step two, I feel like I could have more results. I know I'm not trying to like super quantify it, but I just feel like it could amp it up a
you
little
are
bit
spot for me. On.
Okay.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I also just wanted to know if nobody else noticed. I don't know if you were here at the beginning of the call, Lynn, but the manifestation that Steph wrote down on her list that she mentioned at the beginning of the call was that she saw a purple butterfly.
Right, I did hear that. I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a purple butterfly. Yeah.
We're all connected.
Right.
So I just wanted to note that, because I'm like, I'd love shit like that. But yeah, for you are completely spot on, because I used to integrate beliefs into my list method. And there's nothing to be said that like that works. That 100% works. But I do them separately now, but I still thread the odd belief into my list method. So it's not about having them as like completely separate entities. It's doing whatever you fancy doing. But yeah, I would definitely say that if you were to do assumption stacking, that would definitely like supercharge everything.
Okay.
And it's just, it's like we were kind of saying at the beginning, it just really gets you. Like, the thing with the list method is to prove how easy it is to manifest, that you can write it down that one time, close that book, and it will happen. It might happen the next day, it might happen in a month, but it will happen. The thing with the assumption stacking is to really get you to embody and feel into that version of you that has that belief or assumption. And then, like, you, what would be really cool, like, if you were to do assumption stacking on, say, like, I don't know, feeling prioritized, okay? And then, like, you're aware you've done that, and then, like, next week, you're doing your list method, and you put, oh, everyone in my reality shows me that I'm prioritized. Like, that repetition as well, like, to thread that back in, you're just kind of ping-ponging that back.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Because then going back and ticking it off, like, yeah, fuck yeah, everyone prioritizes me. Boom. You know? Right.
And so, it's weird to say, even with the like, me doing this, like, just making a better effort of really, because I know lifestyle, but it's kind of like the gym. Like, you'll do it and you'll get results, and then you're like, oh, I can, you know, slack off a little bit. And you're like, no, that if you want to maintain the physique, you've got to keep it regular. And so I kind of stopped a bit, but now that I'm back into the regular routine of doing it, like, there's things today that happened. Like, I had written months ago, I said, so on one of my list methods, I said, somebody told me that I can have whatever I want. I literally walked into a shop today and I said, can I get, and the guy stopped me. He's like, you can have whatever you want. And I was like, what the hell?
I
like,
I'm
like,
this is crazy.
Like, what? And I just feel like it's kind of snowballing. And I'm like, ooh, how can we really play with this? So yeah, I'm definitely going to take those, what you've been saying, and just go full steam ahead, because it's fun to play like this, but it's 100%. Also, it's a game, but it's also me getting what I want in this game. Right. So
yeah,
it's really cool. Exactly. Really, really cool.
And, like, allowing yourself to have what you want, because I, like, when I, the reason I started the assumption stacking with I always get what I want is because there's such a negative connotation to claiming that. Like, if old me, like, circa 2023 Ellie, was to say, like, oh, I always get what I want, I'd have been like, oh my God, that's so self-centered. Like, that's, I can't say that. Everyone's going to think I'm so greedy and I'm so this and I'm so that. Like, no, we can get what we want. Like, we've been told for however many years that we can't, and it's bad and selfish if we decide that. No, no, it isn't. I'm going to get what I want.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So, yeah. Thank you for this, by the way. I really appreciate I appreciate this. And Joseph and Athena are great and everything. And I love this group so much, because it sounds like we've all had the same experience of, well, we've done the 369. We've done the affirming a million times. And we've done all this. And it's like,
we've all drank the moon water.
Yeah. And it's it's not that complicated when you really put your mind to it. Like, when you really, and these are tools where I'm like, damn, this is fun. And it's also really simple. So, yeah.
Exactly. And the more you've weeded that garden, the more simple it gets. That's how I found it. And that's what gets you the long-term results, you know, because, like, you've got no resistance to, you know, I mean, some people might do, but generally speaking, you don't have much resistance to getting a free cup of coffee. But I might have resistance to everyone in my reality showing me that I'm prioritized, because I don't have loads of old crap telling me that I don't get free cups of coffee. So, you know, some things, like, the beauty of the list method is to show you how easy it is with things you don't have that resistance to, which gives you the rocket fuel to go and do the work to get rid of the resistance for all the stuff you actually want.
Right.
So, but yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Lynn. I loved that the guy at the shop said. That was fun. Like, when people say verbatim what you've scripted, it's so fun. So yeah. Does anyone else have anything to say before we all finish the call? Okay, well, I'm going to quote Joe. I'm going to say that it was really great for everyone to be here. Thank you, honestly. Thank you, everybody, so much for being here. I hope that you found it helpful. And to quote Joe, I'll see you on the flip-flop.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Ellie. Bye.
All right. Lots of love, everyone. Bye, guys.